Constitutional Law. Commerce Clause. Background and Constitutional Basis of the Commerce Clause. 1. Historical Context. The Commerce Clause was included in Article I of the U.S. Constitution, drafted in 1787 and ratified in 1788. Its inclusion was driven by the framers' intent to address economic and political issues under the Articles of Confederation, where individual states wielded significant power, including the ability to levy tariffs against products from other states and foreign nations. This fragmented approach led to economic strife and interstate conflict, prompting the need for a centralized regulatory authority. 2. Textual language and intent. Exact wording. Congress shall have power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. This phrase empowers Congress with a broad and extensive scope to influence the national economy. Framers' intent. The framers intended to create a unified economic space, preventing states from imposing restrictive policies that could hinder economic integration and growth. The Commerce Clause was designed to facilitate a stable and cohesive economic framework for the nation, promoting free trade and economic unity across state lines. 3. Scope of authority. The clause grants Congress the power to legislate in all areas that affect interstate and international commerce. This includes not only direct regulation of goods and services crossing state borders, but also any activities that have a substantial impact on interstate commerce, as interpreted by the courts over time. Economic and beyond. Initially focused on economic transactions, the scope of the Commerce Clause has expanded to include social issues and activities that might not be commercial in the traditional sense, but nonetheless impact interstate commerce. This expansion has allowed federal oversight of issues like labor standards, civil rights, and environmental regulations. 4. Interpretation over time. Early interpretations. In the early years of the Republic, the Commerce Clause was not frequently invoked. However, as the economy grew and became more complex, the need for federal regulation became more apparent, leading to a broader interpretation of the clause. Expansion and contraction. During the New Deal era of the 1930s, under President Franklin D. Roosevelt, the interpretation of the Commerce Clause reached its zenith, with the Supreme Court upholding broad federal powers to regulate the economy. However, in more recent decades, the Supreme Court has sometimes taken a more restrictive view, as seen in cases like United States v. Lopez and United States v. Morrison. 5. Modern implications. In contemporary jurisprudence, the Commerce Clause remains a vital and often contentious part of constitutional law. It is central to debates over the limits of federal authority and the balance of power between the states and the federal government. Economic and legal challenges. The Commerce Clause is frequently at the heart of major legal battles concerning regulatory reach, whether in healthcare, environmental protection, or internet commerce, reflecting ongoing tensions in federalism. The Commerce Clause serves as a cornerstone for federal legislative authority, enabling Congress to address national priorities and maintain a unified national market. Its application and interpretation continue to evolve, reflecting changes in economic conditions, societal values, and legal philosophies, thereby maintaining its relevance in American constitutional law. Federal powers and implications of the Commerce Clause. 1. Broad scope of regulatory authority. Historical development. Since its inception, the Commerce Clause has been pivotal in facilitating federal intervention in numerous areas that are crucial for maintaining a cohesive national economy. Over time, as the complexity of economic activities increased, the necessity for a centralized regulatory approach became evident, especially for issues that no single state could adequately manage due to their interstate nature.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Key areas of regulation. Environmental regulations. The federal government uses its Commerce Clause authority to enact legislation aimed at protecting the environment, such as the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. These laws require a uniform standard across states to prevent race-to-the-bottom scenarios where states might under-regulate to attract businesses. Anti-discrimination laws. Federal civil rights laws, including the Civil Rights Act of 1964, are grounded in the Commerce Clause. These laws prohibit discrimination in businesses and facilities that engage in interstate commerce, ensuring uniform protection across state lines. Labor standards. The Fair Labor Standards Act, which sets minimum wage, overtime pay, and child labor standards, is another example of Commerce Clause application. Such uniform standards are essential for protecting workers in industries that operate across multiple states. 2. Economic and social impact. Impact on various sectors. The Commerce Clause's reach extends into vital areas of the economy and public life, influencing not just traditional commerce, but also sectors like transportation, where federal standards govern road safety and vehicle emissions, and telecommunications, which require uniform regulatory standards to ensure fair competition and service availability. Beyond economics, the influence of the Commerce Clause also extends into social welfare and public health, areas that are increasingly seen as intertwined with economic stability and growth. For instance, federal laws regulating the sale of firearms and alcohol, consumer protection laws, and even aspects of healthcare policy are justified under the Commerce Clause. 3. Contemporary relevance. Modern legal challenges and legislation. In recent years, the Commerce Clause has been a central argument in significant national debates and court cases. A prime example is the Affordable Care Act, ACA, particularly its individual mandate, which required individuals to purchase health insurance. The mandate's justification initially hinged on the Commerce Clause before the Supreme Court ultimately upheld it under Congress's taxing power in National Federation of Independent Business v. Sebelius. Ongoing debates. The scope of the Commerce Clause continues to be a hotly debated topic in contemporary legal and political spheres. Discussions often focus on the balance between federal authority and states' rights, reflecting broader ideological conflicts over the size and role of the federal government, state powers, and the Dormant Commerce Clause. 1. Dormant Commerce Clause concept. Implicit restrictions. The Dormant Commerce Clause is a judicially inferred principle that prohibits states from passing legislation that unduly restricts or burdens interstate commerce. This doctrine stems from the need to maintain a national economic union, free from individual states imposing isolationist or protectionist measures that could disrupt a unified market. While the Commerce Clause itself grants Congress the power to regulate commerce among the several states, the Dormant Commerce Clause restricts states from enacting laws that would interfere with this federal prerogative, even in the absence of federal legislation. Legal justification. The rationale for the Dormant Commerce Clause is to prevent economic fragmentation and discrimination that could arise if states were allowed to independently regulate interstate commerce. This doctrine ensures that trade across state borders remains unimpeded by localized legislative agendas. 2. State legislation impact. Protection against local bias. The Dormant Commerce Clause serves as a barrier against state legislatures that might attempt to favor local businesses or industries at the cost of out-of-state competitors. This includes laws that are overtly protectionist, for example, tariffs on goods coming from other states, as well as more subtle forms of discrimination, such as burdensome regulations that disproportionately affect out-of-state businesses. Preventing a race to the bottom. The clause is crucial in avoiding scenarios where states could compete against each other in a way that leads to lower standards, particularly in areas like environmental regulation, labor laws, and consumer protections. By preventing states from implementing laws that would give local businesses unfair advantages, it helps maintain a level playing field and protects the broader public interest. 3. Balancing local and national interests. Judicial Balancing Act. When disputes involving state laws and the Dormant Commerce Clause reach the courts, judges often engage in a delicate balancing act. They must assess whether a state's regulation serves a legitimate local public interest and whether these benefits outweigh the potential negative impacts on interstate commerce. The Supreme Court uses several criteria to evaluate such cases. Non-discrimination. Laws must not discriminate against interstate commerce in favor of intrastate commerce. No excessive burden. Even if non-discriminatory, laws should not place an excessive burden on interstate commerce relative to the local benefits derived. Market participant exception. States may favor local businesses within limits if they are acting as market participants rather than as regulators. Key cases. South Dakota v. Wayfair, Incorporated, 2018. This recent case adjusted the Dormant Commerce Clause interpretation to better fit modern e-commerce realities, allowing states to require out-of-state sellers to collect sales tax, balancing state revenue needs with interstate commerce impacts. Philadelphia v. New Jersey, 1978. The court struck down a New Jersey law that prohibited the importation of most solid or liquid waste which originated out of state, citing it as a protectionist measure that burdened interstate commerce. Key cases illustrating Commerce Clause applications. 1. Wickard v. Filburn, 1942. Background. During the era of the New Deal, Roscoe Filburn, a farmer, grew wheat for his own use which exceeded the quota set by the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1938. This act was designed to stabilize wheat prices during the Great Depression. Legal issue. The main legal question was whether Congress could regulate activities that were local in nature under the Commerce Clause if those activities had an indirect effect on interstate commerce. Supreme Court decision. The court ruled that even if an activity is local and not directly part of interstate commerce, it can still be regulated by Congress if it exerts a substantial economic effect on interstate commerce when considered in the aggregate with similar activities. In this case, personal wheat consumption could impact national wheat demand and prices. Impact. This decision significantly broadened the scope of the Commerce Clause, allowing federal regulation of virtually any activity that could cumulatively affect interstate commerce, thereby expanding federal power. 2. Gonzales v. Reich, 2005. Background. California legalized medical marijuana, which conflicted with federal drug laws prohibiting marijuana. Angel Reich and Diane Monson, California residents, used medical marijuana legally under state law but faced federal action. Legal issue. The question was whether the federal government could regulate locally grown marijuana that was neither bought nor sold under the Commerce Clause. Supreme Court decision. The court decided that under the Commerce Clause, Congress could criminalize the production and use of homegrown cannabis, even if states legalized it. The rationale was that local cannabis cultivation and use could affect the overall national market for marijuana, including illegal markets. Impact. This ruling reaffirmed the broad regulatory authority granted under the Commerce Clause, emphasizing the federal government's power to regulate local activities if they are part of an economic class of activities that affect interstate commerce. 3. United States v. Lopez, 1995, and United States v. Morrison, 2000. United States v. Lopez, 1995. Background. A high school student, Alfonso Lopez, was charged under the Gun-Free School Zones Act of 1990 for carrying a handgun into school. Legal issue. The issue was whether the Gun-Free School Zones Act was an overreach of the Commerce Clause authority. Decision. The Supreme Court ruled that carrying a gun in a local school zone does not substantially affect interstate commerce and that the law was an overreach of Congress's Commerce Clause powers. Impact. This decision marked the first time in over 50 years that the court imposed limits on Congress's Commerce Clause authority, signaling a shift toward restricting federal power over purely local activities. United States v. Morrison, 2000. Background. This case challenged the constitutionality of the Violence Against Women Act, which provided a federal civil remedy for victims of gender-motivated violence. Legal issue. The question was whether Congress could enact such legislation under the Commerce Clause. Decision. The court ruled that the violence being regulated was not an economic activity and did not substantially affect interstate commerce, thereby exceeding Congress's Commerce Clause powers. Impact. This decision further solidified the trend set by Lopez, emphasizing a more defined limit to the scope of the Commerce Clause. 4. National Federation of Independent Business v. Sebelius, 2012. Background. This case involved challenges to various aspects of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, particularly the individual mandate requiring individuals to purchase health insurance. Legal issue. The primary question was whether the Commerce Clause authorized Congress to require individuals to buy health insurance. Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court held that the Commerce Clause does not allow Congress to compel individuals to engage in commerce, in this case, buying health insurance. However, the individual mandate was ultimately upheld under Congress's power to tax. Impact. This ruling had a significant impact on the interpretation of the Commerce Clause, restricting the federal government's power to regulate economic inactivity and highlighting the nuanced boundaries of federal authority. Summary. Historical context. The Commerce Clause was included in the U.S. Constitution, ratified in 1788, as part of Article I, Section 8, Clause 3. Its primary purpose was to address economic disparities and regulatory inconsistencies that emerged under the Articles of Confederation, where individual states wielded excessive power, including imposing tariffs against each other. This fragmentation hindered a unified economic policy and caused interstate economic discord. Constitutional text and intent. The text of the Commerce Clause explicitly grants Congress the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. This authority was intended by the framers to create a stable economic environment across state lines, ensuring that no single state would have the power to disrupt the flow of commerce or to impose discriminatory regulations against goods and services from other states. Scope of authority. The Commerce Clause provides Congress with extensive power to legislate on a variety of issues that impact interstate and international commerce. This has traditionally included the regulation of goods and services crossing state boundaries, but over time has expanded to cover any economic activities that have a substantial impact on interstate commerce. This broad interpretation allows for federal oversight of diverse economic activities and ensures that the federal government can address issues requiring national attention and uniformity. Evolving interpretation. Initially, the Commerce Clause was not frequently invoked. However, as the American economy grew and became more complex, the necessity for a centralized approach to economic regulation became apparent. The New Deal era marked a significant expansion in the application of the Commerce Clause, allowing for extensive federal intervention in the economy. However, in more recent decades, there has been some pullback from this broad interpretation, reflecting a more nuanced approach to federal versus state powers. Modern implications. In contemporary legal and political discourse, the Commerce Clause remains a vital element of constitutional law, central to debates over federal regulatory reach and state sovereignty. Its applications affect a wide range of public and economic policies, from environmental regulation to labor standards and healthcare. The Commerce Clause is crucial for maintaining a balance between a unified national market and state autonomy, continuously shaping the federal system in the United States.